You are watching the Hoop Central podcast right here on Spirit Live. Hey, how is it going, everyone? And welcome back to the Hoop Central podcast, the best place for a different perspective when it comes to all things basketball. Malik, how are we doing today?
I'm always doing fantastic. You know, the snow, we had a big snowfall. Let it snow. Ooh. let it snow.
This is Canada. We didn't even get snow for Christmas last year, so this is actually kind of refreshing to see. And it snowed a lot. Like, I mean, I looked outside the window in the morning and I was like, whoa, it is white. And I am so out of touch with the news and what's been going on that I had no idea it was even going to snow in the first place. So a little pleasant surprise. But, yeah, you know, although it's getting cold here, things are starting to heat up in the NBA. You see what I think? But I wish I could say the same for the Toronto Raptors as a Raptors fan myself. But things have progressively begun to get even colder. But OG Anunoby has been hurt. Ken Burch has been hurt. Gary Trent is now out of the lineup as well. And Goran Dragic, although he wasn't really playing, is out for personal reasons. And before we get into what we have planned in this episode, Malik, what are your thoughts on the Raptors? You know, as a fan yourself, as an objective NBA fan, what do you like so far about them? You know, obviously, we're a podcast based in Toronto. You got to show love here and there for our team. But how are we feeling? Because I know everything has not been the most positive.
Yeah, y'all know we're based off of Toronto. We're from the Six for sure, doing this Hoop Central podcast. But regards to the NBA season, the Raptors have been a little bit subpar. I had a bit of more expectations coming into the season, but they haven't been meeting those expectations 100%. I think due to injuries, it's kind of flashes from last season. It really scares me that this is going on early, but I'm glad it's going on early because it won't happen later on in the season like it
that
did
is true.
Last year too. So we get these injuries out of the way and hopefully we get to full strength. We have yet to see the Toronto Raptors at full strength at all this season, surprisingly. So when Gary Trent, Birch, and OG come back, then I'm sure we're gonna see what the real potential of the Toronto Raptors and how they can be, you know, hopefully a fringe playoff contender in the East. Hopefully they could come to that. But you know, regarding the schedule, according to Basketball Reference, we have the fourth hardest schedule in the whole entire league.
Obviously, when you let a team go to the free throw line 30 times and they make 29 of those attempts, compared to when you only been there 17, you're going to have a little bit of trouble catching up in that department. But no, I agree with you. Going into the season, I genuinely thought the Raptors had the potential to be a top six team in the Eastern Conference. I still do feel that way. You'd never know how things could change in a season because I have so much praise on their defense, but their offense has been incredibly hard to watch at times. Like, I mean, the fluidity of things is really hard, you know. I don't know if it's a personnel thing that might have to switch up during maybe the trade deadline, because I do believe there's going to be moves made.
Yes.
Involving who? Can't ask me that because I'm not Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster.
Yes,
but there is a clear elephant in the room when there are two players on the court at the same time, and I think every Raptors fan has noticed it and can see what the best direction is to go in moving forward. And I guess I'm hinting at the fact between we have a logjam at that power forward position being Pascal Siakam and Scottie Barnes. I think anyone with common sense would lean towards the player that you just drafted number four overall to keep, which kind of hurts as a Raptors fan to say, but love Pascal, but I don't think his play style and who he is as a player fits the timeline that the Raptors have set in place.
Yeah, that's all that matters. And I guess taking a look comparison to last season, this season, you know, the start is not as bad as we make it seem. We started off 1-6, and I think during this time we were like 7-13. Right now, as it stands, we're 9-11, 9 wins and 11 losses. So yeah, you know, we're at a point where it's like, okay, we're still doing okay. We have some, you know, deficiencies going on, but that's due to injuries. So we can't really complain until the team is 100% fully healthy. If the team's performing like this 100%, then there's a problem for sure.
For those that did not know, in that game against the Boston Celtics, every single Raptor was in the negatives in that game, except for Yuta Watanabe, who, when he was in the game, he was playing in place for Pascal Siakam. So,
see,
that might be a development going forward. But I like to shift gears into the team I just mentioned a little bit earlier, the New York Knicks. And as we are recording this, a little bit before, like 30 minutes before we started recording this, Tom Thibodeau addressed the media and gave some news that was quite shocking, in my opinion, because I thought this was something that should happen but wouldn't happen actually, but it did. And he announced that Alec Burks is now going to be the starting point guard for the Knicks. And not just that, then Kemba Walker is out of the rotation, which is insane to me to think that they actually done that. But Malik, what are your initial thoughts? Because I remember when I mentioned to you that this news happened, you looked shook, like you couldn't even believe that this ended up occurring. But what's your thoughts on this whole situation in New York?
I never thought in this NBA generation that Kemba would be the guy to be benched in an NBA roster, NBA league. I think growing up and watching him in college go to Charlotte, have a decent impact in Boston, he is one of those players that is one of like the best go-to scorers and space creators in the whole entire league. I never thought a guy like Kemba would be the one getting benched. I'm genuinely surprised. You know, Nikeem was laying out the stats for me. 11 points off 4% shooting is not ideal for a roster this year for sure. But if you're a team that's like New York, the rotation is different every day, just like the Toronto Raptors, and you have a lot of depth. So I think that New York's still trying to formulate that starting lineup and trying to plan out what's going on. You know, I think they're 11-9, seventh in the Eastern Conference. So not too bad, up and down, but they're still in a good spot. Alec Burks has been, you know, on a ride, and right now he's killing it. He looks rejuvenated. He looks like he's 25, 26 years old, killing it right now. But we know he's older, but he, you know, he has that veteran presence that New York Knicks feed off on and off the floor. So, you know, it seems like Tom Thibodeau's strategy is, you know, whoever's doing good, whoever's hot right now, we're going to start and see what happens. Let's try this experiment. But you have a lot of depth. Like, I guess Nikeem will get into the bench and how they're impacting the game over the starters for sure. But, you know, guys like Nerlens Noel and Taj Gibson have been up and down the rotation as well, earning minutes and then getting injured. But you have a lot of depth. Kevin Knox is still, you know, in the air to what's going on. Sims, actually, Jericho Sims got some minutes. I think he got 21 minutes last game. So talk about experiment. I like Sims. And you have Luke Semanek, and Derrick Rose is injured right now too. So when the roster's fully healthy, you have to see what's going on. But I'm genuinely surprised that Kemba Walker. I think they have Semanek from the Spurs. They got him in the offseason.
That's crazy. He was a first-round pick for the Spurs and like barely played for them. That's one thing I got to look into, his career arc, because you don't really see that often, especially with the Spurs when it comes to drafting.
Yeah.
But that is I'm very curious about that. But yeah, great points with the bench, exactly. And you got the other rookies, Quentin Grimes. Miles McBride made his like NBA debut the other night and scored his first basket. So the thing with the Knicks for me, you said they're 11-9 and seventh in the East. They should be way better. Way higher. I had them as my fourth seed in the East when we did our predictions, and I believe Malik had them at fifth.
I had my fifth. I had
the Hawks.
The Hawks at fourth.
And right now, it's looking like the Hawks are the better team because they've been on like a 7-game win streak. And me and Justin did press Malik about this, and Malik was like, maybe I'll switch it or maybe I won't, but the Heat, he'll definitely switch. I know he'll switch the Heat, but I just don't know what to do if I'm New York. After that first game of the season, things looked great. Evan Fournier dropped 30-something points against the Celtics in that double overtime win. Kemba, I didn't expect him to come in and be old Kemba. I think that part of his career has moved away. But it just feels that if he can't score, he has no place on an NBA court. And the stat that I was showing Malik was, in the 441 minutes that Kemba has played this season, the Knicks have been outscored by 122 points. And that ranks as the worst plus minus of any player on a winning team in the NBA so far this season. You can't have that at that starting point guard position, because for everyone that knows, the point guard is basically the head of the team. Obviously, there's a lot of teams that their point guard isn't their best player, but a lot of times your point guard is how far they are going to take you. If you have a great leader at that point guard position, they're going to be able to rally the troops and be able to push you to the victory. And, you know, they're obviously the extension of the head coach on the court. And what it seems like is when Kemba just can't score, he's just a liability for you, and he really can't do anything else because he's only about, 6 foot, maybe 5'11 at best. And he just doesn't have the defensive abilities to stay in front of the guards in today's NBA. If we're looking at the playoffs right now, let's say they go up against the Atlanta Hawks again. Trae Young is torching Kemba. And hopefully he can end up getting a spot back in the rotation. I hope he does. But it's just going to be tough because Emmanuel Quickley has played so well this season. Honestly kind of surprised. Derrick Rose especially. I'm kind of surprised that Emmanuel Quickley isn't the one starting. Like I'm kind of, for them to put Alec Burks, who I wouldn't even have point guard as his natural position. No. I see him more as a shooting guard. So that's kind of interesting to me why Thibodeau would do that. But I don't know if he's just experimenting right now, because I can get why he's keeping Emmanuel Quickley on the bench, because he provides that spark and you probably want that from your second unit. The last thing you want to do is put him in the starting lineup and then your second unit becomes dull, because that's one of your biggest advantages if you're the Knicks, because y'all got a team that when your bench comes in, your bench is better than the opposing team, so you could take the advantage there. But with Kemba out of the lineup, it's just crazy to me. There's some stars in the NBA that have had such a sudden fall from grace. Kemba, before he went to Boston, he had the best season of his career in Charlotte. Was trying to get that Supermax. He even said on JJ Redick's podcast, he never wanted to leave Charlotte at all. If he got that contract, he would have stayed in Charlotte. And it's looking more and more that they made the best decision to not re-sign Kemba. But now you got a guy like DeMarcus Cousins who recently signed with the Milwaukee Bucks. And that's hopefully going to be a big addition for them since Brook Lopez is out. But that's another player that used to be on the top of the NBA world, the best center in the NBA. And injuries kind of derailed him. The one thing with Kemba that just makes me so curious is that he never had a serious injury that made his game push back. It just slowly just stopped being as impactful as it was, which is kind of crazy to me. But the Knicks, 11-9, I don't know what to feel about them, because they're very inconsistent. Some days RJ Barrett drops like 25 points, another day he's dropping 11 on poor efficiency from the field. So Tom Thibodeau is someone who doesn't like to make changes. He likes to stick things through. But the fact that he's making a change right now shows that he's willing to adjust, and he's kind of taking a different role as a head coach. But Malik, if you're the Knicks with Kemba and he's out of the rotation, do you think there's going to be a point where he gets that roster spot back? Or do you think it's more so just, you know what, I guess it's written off, his career is kind of on the downside towards the end of the door.
Oh no, Kemba has so much potential. I wouldn't say that he's past his prime yet, but I would say he's reached his peak, but he could utilize it in different ways. So I definitely think that he's going to get back in this rotation. He's Kemba Walker, for crying out loud, 100%. I believe that Tom Thibodeau, you know, I was reading a report that Tom Thibodeau said he has the utmost respect for Kemba Walker. And, you know, anything towards him is not personal. It's just for the team. You know, and when it comes down to the NBA, it is always a business at the end of the day. And the NBA players know that as well. DeMar DeRozan, yeah, especially.
Oh, exactly. Definitely.
And
it's true. Sorry to cut you off. And it's one thing I like about this too, is it's also holding these players accountable. Like for a guy like Kemba, he might be used to just being able to get that spot because of his status. But Tom Thibodeau was showing, hey, if you're not playing good, I don't care who you are, I'm not going to put you in the lineup. You're not going to play, which I like. If you look at his minutes, it's been going down game by game. It's going from 30 minutes to 20 to 15. And then the recent one, I believe he played only about 13 or 14 minutes in it. So Tom Thibodeau isn't giving these players a long leash. They're getting a short leash. And you've got to be able to do what you're getting paid to do, or else you're just simply not going to get any action. But that's actually very intriguing to me as we talk about a fallen star in Kemba Walker. There's also someone else who used to be perceived as, I wouldn't say he was ever thought of to be the best point guard in the NBA, but there were definitely conversations of him being top three. And it's sad to see him not even be able to play this season, not even because of injury, but just because of the situation that he is in. And that is John Wall. Mm-hmm. And the Houston Rockets itself is just a very confusing organization for me. The James Harden trade was, I think, a disaster of a trade. They did get some draft picks, but to think they traded James Harden for who did they get in return? Like Victor Oladipo. Who stayed with them for like what? Like a couple games before he got injured and then traded to the Heat. I'm not even sure how that even worked out there. And you could have got Caris LeVert, but instead you sent him to Indiana, which I also didn't get the sense of that. So that trade just didn't go the right way with me. I think you could have, you have a guy like James Harden, obviously, with the way he was playing, he's not at his fullest potential, but that's still a former MVP, one of the best players the NBA has ever seen. And then look at what happened when he went to Brooklyn. He was torching the NBA as soon as he got sent there. But my thoughts on this John Wall thing, I don't like it at all, because what are you really trying to do in Houston? And this is what I want to ask you, Malik, because there has been reports that Steven Silas is on the hot seat because of the start that the Rockets have had. But they agreed to not play John Wall because of what? They're going to say because you want to develop the younger guys. That is a lie. They want to lose. They know if they play John Wall, they're going to win games. But now you're contradicting that by saying you want to, you're thinking of getting rid of Steven Silas because of your record. The only reason I could think about them wanting to get rid of Silas is because of the game plan that he has set in place. Because the Rockets have arguably been one of the most disappointing teams when it comes to the way they play offensively. They play really ISO heavy ball, and they seem like a team that would have been so fun to watch. You're talking about Jalen Green, mm-hmm. Kevin Porter Jr. Yeah. You know, you got Alperen Sengun coming off the bench, who's a very intriguing prospect. A lot of guys on that team that I thought would have, you know, Christian Wood. These are some great players.
Just on tape.
Jay Sean Tate, thank you for reminding me. So for them to be so underwhelming entertainment wise is kind of disappointing. That's the only reason I could see Steven Silas being thought about as being fired. But Malik, I just don't understand what to think with the Houston Rockets, because with this John Wall thing, I feel bad for him, because if this stays the way it is, he's probably not going to play an NBA game until his contract is up, because no team wants to take on that contract, and the Rockets have made it evident that they are not willing to buy him out. But at the same time, the more he's on the team, the more they're gonna have to pay out that contract. Like eventually, exactly. if he stays on that team, they're gonna have to pay him out. There's no way you don't. So it's just contract, like everything just doesn't make sense to me, and I feel like the management doesn't know what they're doing there. Ever since the James Harden thing, ever since they lost that series against the Warriors, things have just been on the decline ever since, and they haven't just been able to recover. But Malik, what are your thoughts about this? Because I'm very intrigued, because I don't know what to make out of the Houston Rockets.
I saw a tweet from John Wall yesterday that said hashtag free me. So I knew, I knew when he said that it was like, that's it. Things are going on in Houston. A lot of problems right now. And John Wall was very vocal, you know, according to sideline sources from Instagram, John Wall expressed that he wants a buyout or possibly a trade by the trade deadline. And he expressed that he's interested in three teams. He said he wants to go to the Los Angeles Clippers. He said Miami Heat or the Milwaukee Bucks, who already have Cousins.
That would mean you'd have John Wall off the bench for Drew. Who's their backup point guard right now?
George Hill.
Ooh, I think I would low-key take John Wall over George Hill. I think I would also take, you said the Clippers and the Heat. I would take John Wall over Eric Bledsoe.
I think John Wall, if he wants that starting spot, it's going to be for the Clippers.
Yeah, but then does Bledsoe start or does he come off the bench?
Bledsoe starts.
So it's Jackson, Bledsoe, George, and then...
So the Reggie Jackson is sliding to the two spot.
Imagine John, because John Wall provides you defense. I think that's the one thing that I would love John Wall for. And I think that a lot of teams are going to be interested in his services, just not at that contract. Because cap-wise, it just doesn't work out for a lot of teams. The only team that might be able to take it on is like the Sixers, because you could trade Ben Simmons for him. But they're not trading Ben Simmons for John Wall. I think that's a guarantee. I think everyone should understand that. But I don't know what to do. Do you even think that he can get moved this season? Like, what is your prediction with John Wall? Do you even think that he plays in an NBA game this season?
I think if he's vocal about it and continues to, you know, fight for his playing time and do that, maybe Houston Rockets will have no choice. Because morale will be down, they'll have no choice but to trade him. But regardless of that, clearly Houston is trying to tank. And it's a tanking method.
Before I close things off, I want to play a quick little game before our time runs out with you all today. Statline, shout out to Statline on Instagram. They're one of my favorite Instagram pages. They literally cover everything when it comes to basketball. If you want, if you're an NBA fan, casual, or even diehard, or trying to get into the sport, follow Statline on Instagram. They'll definitely bless you because they post some great content, not just NBA, but also G League, overseas, college, everything. But they did a poll on their story, and they basically put two players up against each other and asked the fans who has more potential. And I wanted to, Malik is unaware of these players and these results, but I want to ask him these questions and get his thoughts on who he thinks has more potential and who he thinks the people voted to have more potential. So, Malik, are you ready?
No, but I'm going to do it.
But he's going to do it. Hey, we're going to start off with probably a difficult one for Malik, because I know he likes one of these guys. But the first battle between who has most potential: Anthony Edwards or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
That's a tough one. Because I'm Canadian, I feel that Canadian connection. I feel like Shai's potential is off the roof. But if we're looking at the overall spectrum and the way Ant is playing right now, and possibly the hype he had before, I'm going to go and say Anthony Edwards had the status quo, and everyone was hyping up, and I would say that everyone voted for him to have more potential than Shai.
But who would you personally vote for?
Who I would vote for?
Yeah.
I'll give it to Ant.
Give it to Ant? Okay, we'll just go with that then. We'll just go with what you personally believe. I would also go with Anthony Edwards. I think his potential is through the roof. And also, 73% of the voters agreed with Anthony Edwards having the more potential. Only 27% went with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Into the next one, we've got more potential: Jaren Jackson Jr. or Scotty Barnes?
Okay, this one's really even because, oh my goodness, that's tough. I think I'm hopping on this, and I'm gonna go towards Scotty. Surprisingly, I'm going to Scotty.
Okay,
but Jackson was hyped up back then. Absolutely, we're on the hype train, and you know, still not too late for him. But I'm gonna go Scotty.
Jaren still has great potential, but when it comes to looking at these two and who has more potential, right now I'd gotta go Scotty as well. I think Scotty's potential is through the roof, and also 80% of the voters agree with us and go with Scotty Barnes.
That's higher than expected.
That is higher than I expected as well when I first saw. Only 20% for Jaren Jackson Jr. Going to the next one, we got a very controversial one. Well, not really controversial, but this is just like probably the most even one that we've got so far, because it can go either way. But more potential: Darius Garland or Josh Giddey?
Oh man, that's a really good one. I really like this matchup. Garland's having his best season, and he keeps going up from here. I think he struggled his rookie year.
One of the worst rookie seasons in NBA history, efficiency-wise. Yeah. But he is now one of the best like young prospects at the point guard position.
I would say he's the most consistent guard in the East for sure. One of the most consistent guards when it comes to like stat patterns. Absolutely. But Josh Giddey is up right now.
That's a tough one. It's a tough one. I love Giddy's game.
I love Giddy's game. But, you know, Garland's relatively young and he's still going to go up from here.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Giddy is doing amazing.
Who you got? Who you got? Who you leaning towards?
For personal preference, I'll go Garland. But I know that Josh Giddy might be higher. But I'm going Garland.
This is actually crazy because so far, me and you agree with everyone. So I think Garland has more potential than Josh Giddy because that jump shot just, it's so pure. Like, and his playmaking on top of that, it's so just smooth. Defensively. If he can become a good team defender, not individual, but team defender,
so smooth.
Gonna be crazy. But when we look at the voters, 58% of the voters went with Josh Giddy and 42% with Darius Garland. That's the closest one that they've got so far.
I expected that.
Intriguing one. But now we go to the next one. This one, I'm intrigued to hear what you got to say. Who do you think has more potential, Michael Porter Jr. or Brandon Ingram? We're looking at a guy. Well, obviously, shout out to Michael Porter Jr. Hopefully, he has a speedy recovery. He's announced that he's going to have back surgery, which is going to take him probably be out for the rest of the season, which is a tough blow for the Denver Nuggets.
But
you got a guy like Michael Porter Jr., who a lot of people had as being a most improved candidate, maybe even an all-star going into the year. And then Brandon Ingram, who's already been an all-star and carrying a team right now in the New Orleans Pelicans. But Malik,
yeah,
this is a tough one. Who do you think has the most potential? Who would you, if you have to develop a player and you think they're going to become a star or MVP, whatever it is, which one you go in between these two?
This is very, very tough, actually, for me. I feel like this is the toughest one so far, because these are so even. You know, obviously, okay, Nikhil and I's ranking of Denver Nuggets is going down now because of all these injuries, for
all
sure.
All these injuries. You couldn't predict this going into the season.
No. But, man, oh, man. Brandon Ingram's obviously having a better season, but when Michael Porter is 100%, oof, and the hype he was getting from high school, oh, my goodness,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
This guy was a stud playing college ball through high school. But if it came down for me... Oh my goodness. I want to say Ingram, but I might want to say Porter, actually, because I might regret
Porter.
It.
Okay. Is that what you're going to go with? Michael Porter, final answer?
I think I'm going to go. I feel like Ingram could do it, but I feel like Michael Porter's, you know, relevancy for the new generation, he could go crazy. So I'm going to go Michael Porter. But Ingram is tough. I like
it. This would be our first disagreement. I'll go Brandon Ingram.
You go Ingram? Okay.
But the thing is, it's so hard. This is such a good pairing matchup, and the voters are split even, 50% on Brandon Ingram, 50% on Michael Porter Jr. So
love it. The only thing is injuries.
And now the last one is going to be one that they put some college players in here, so this is obviously a little bit of a looking forward type thing.
Love it.
I haven't watched the most footage on both of these guys, only a few game highlights, so I'm not the most aware of it. I'm assuming Malik as well isn't the most like expert when it comes to college basketball right now. But we've got one of the prospects, I guess both of them you could say are prospects for that number one overall pick, Chet Holmgren and also Amani Bates. You got Chet Holmgren, unicorn type player, big man, can kind of do it all. And then Amani Bates, who is some people saying KD 2.0 with the way that he plays. But Malik, what is your thoughts? Who would you say has the most potential here? Because this is one of those ones where if Amani just develops into that KD type of player, that is scary. You know what I mean? But then if Chet Holmgren bulks up a little bit like a Giannis, not saying he's going to get strong as Giannis, it's like, hey, how do you stop him? So who do you think has the most potential?
I think when it comes to these two, very, very different at their positions. Personally, I would go towards Amani Bates because he's killing right now. And then that shot is amazing. But the status quo and the majority will vote Chet. And I know the vote Chet and they'll hop on it. But if I had to choose between these two, if it would just come down to my choice, I'm going Amani Bates because I love his game for sure.
Amani Bates locking the answer. And
I'm locking in the answer, but Chet's going higher. But I'm going to Amani Bates.
The voters actually agree with Malik in a sense. This is also another 50-50 draw between Chet and Amani. They were split even again that they couldn't decide which one.
Who would you go with, Nikki?
This is tough. I like both prospects so much. This is going to be a great draft, by the way. Shout out to Paulo Banchero, who I think is going to be the number one overall pick.
Banchero, Jaden Hardy from Philly Unite.
Jaden Hardy, Unite. Also got talking your man, Jalen Duren, who you mentioned, who's also at Memphis with Amani Bates. I gotta go Chet.
You gotta go Chet.
But thing is, Amani is so intriguing as a prospect. I mean, I don't want to put that KD type of pressure on him. We've seen a lot of players get compared to KD in the past, like Brandon Ingram. Obviously, the best comparison went to Bruno Caboclo, 2 years away from being 2 years away. But
2 years away.
But Amani is one of those guys where I just think that if he just works on his fundamentals, then he'll be set. His shot kind of scares me, because not just scares me, but I'm not the biggest fan of his form, and I don't know if it's going to be able to work against NBA level defenders, because he does have the length, but I'm worried about his strength. But that's obviously we're talking about potential. He could definitely develop into one of the best players in the NBA. But
yeah, I think that the speed of his shot will definitely dictate his game for sure. Yes. If he's a slow release or a fast release, his range.
It's just it's just a little herky jerky when he gets up. Like his it just doesn't look smooth compared to KD's, that was entirely smooth even as a rookie.
Oh my god! But I still have seen KD shoot.
Chet is just defensively, he's a monster.
Dog.
He needs to get stronger, because Banchero proved that he is too weak to guard big body bigs. So we're gonna have to see. But I could go on a whole rant about college basketball. Well, then we can make that another episode going into the future. Our top prospects.
March Madness. Prospects. We're halfway to March Madness.
Duke just got put number one. You know, I'm on top of the roof. I am a big Duke fan. So I'm so excited that they're now the number one ranked team in the nation. But anyways.
We're Syracuse. That's my team.
Yeah, Syracuse. Hey, Buddy Boeheim could do a little bit better. But Syracuse obviously been one of those teams that can, you know, be right there in the mix. But Malik, I think that wraps up today's episode of the Hoop Central podcast.
Yes.
What team should we be looking out for this week?
You know what? Should I say the Toronto Raptors? Because we're gonna get fully healthy. You know what? That'd be right. Okay. I would say the team to look out for this week is the Charlotte Hornets.
Charlotte Hornets.
13-9. I really like what they're doing with their schemes of lineup. Sometimes putting Miles Bridges at the 1-2. Oops, I just dropped it because it was a bomb. I was just checking their schedule. 13-9. They sit on the ranking 6th in the East, just behind Chicago. Point five away. So Charlotte is looking good, and I had them out. But you know, I'm looking to watch them this week for sure. I'm going to watch a lot of more Charlotte Hornets basketball, because I'm definitely interested. Another team on the West that I'm probably going to definitely watch is Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, should they finally? Luka's back in the lineup. Porzingis has been crazy.
Luka's back. Porzingis is back. The only player that I have a problem with in Dallas right now is Tim Hardaway. I want him to find his groove. He's been having a very disappointing season.
He's just one of those ones where when he's on fire, he's on fire. But then he'll just be bad. Like, I remember against the Raptors early on in the season, he turned into prime Michael Jordan and just couldn't miss a shot.
Does everyone on the Raptors turn to prime? Prime themselves.
But that's a team y'all should be looking out for, especially you fantasy players. Make sure to look out for anyone that's on the Charlotte Hornets that you got or going up against.
Check your lineups.
Make sure. Hey, I'm 6-0 on the season in my league. You know, I'm feeling nice right now.
I'm 4-1-1 tied. Nakeem is first place. He's repping.
Hey, Hey, and I don't even got Zion in the lineup. OG out too. Hey, we only going Holy. Up from here. But we've been going on a little bit too long, Malik. I apologize for all the editing that you may have to do in this episode. But it's been your boy Nakeem.
Been your boy Malik.
And we shall see you all on the next episode of the Hoop Central podcast right here on Spirit Live. Take it easy, everyone.
Peace.